Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. And I am your host, Evans Zininga. And today on Live Talk, we are discussing the U.S. elections to be held on Tuesday, November 5, in the coming week. Presidential candidate for the Green Party, Jill Stein, is polling at around 1%, but her candidacy could have an outsized impact on the outcome, with some political analysts predicting that even a small percentage of votes for Stein could make a difference in crucial swing states. Maxime Adams has the story.
It's not the first time a Green Party nominee, Jill Stein, has run for U.S. president. In 2016, Stein got just over 1% of the votes. Many Democrats believe those votes cost Hillary Clinton the presidency. In Michigan, for example, Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton by less than 11,000 votes, while Stein received over 51,000 votes. Some experts say it's not clear that all the votes for Stein would have gone to Clinton.
I just don't think it's as easy just to say, oh, well, that person is just stealing votes. You don't know what a voter's behavior would be if they were actually forced into a choice, into a two-way choice.
A similar situation arose in 2000 when Green Party candidate Ralph Nader won nearly 100,000 votes in Florida, and George W. Bush defeated Al Gore by just 537 votes.
The problem with this whole formula is when you have a highly contested election, and if it's being, to some extent, bitterly fought out, you assume that people's second choice would really matter. And I personally think that whole model is wrong. People who choose to vote for third-party candidates are doing it for independent reasons of their own. So for whatever that reason might be, they're so highly disillusioned with or, you know, exasperated by the existing parties that, in effect, they're creating a protest vote.
Yet Democrats are again voicing concern that Stein could be a spoiler during these elections, in some cases accusing her of working to undermine Harris. When VOA reached out to Stein's campaign, co-press director Sam Feifel responded by saying that attacking a third-party candidate, quote, is not just an attack on democracy, but a form of voter suppression to intimidate people into not voting for what they want, or even not voting at all. But in battleground states like Michigan, which has the highest concentration of Muslims in the U.S., the Green Party may have more influence. That's because many Muslims troubled by the humanitarian crisis in Gaza are angry over the Biden White House support of Israel. According to a report released last month by the Council on American-Islamic Relations, 40% of Muslims in Michigan said they plan to vote for Stein, while 12% said they'll vote for Harris.
She'll take more votes from Kamala Harris, and Democrats in close key states have not been as successful at keeping her off the ballot. And so if we are looking at the race coming down to a few close states, she has the possibility of affecting the close states on election night.
The same report also showed more Muslims plan to vote for Stein over Harris in Wisconsin and Arizona, battleground states where Joe Biden narrowly defeated Donald Trump in 2020. In an election year where the winner is too close to call, Green Party votes could make a difference. Maxime Adams, VOA News, Washington.
The Voice of America launched a series of stories on the 2024 presidential election, and in this edition of the candidates focusing on the Democratic nominees and presidents, today we're focusing on Vice President nominee for the Democratic Party, Tim Walz. Walz was elected to two terms as governor of the Midwestern state of Minnesota before he became Kamala Harris' pick for vice president. On the campaign trail, he speaks about his formative days in Nebraska and how they shaped the person, candidate, and governor he has become. VOA's Natasha Mascovia visited the state to learn more about how the people of Nebraska remember him and feel about him now.
Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Walz spent the first half of his life in this rural part of Nebraska, about a five-hour drive from the nearest major airport. Here, the most prominent landscape features are often the grain silos. Some people here see a part of themselves in the vice presidential candidate.
When I see him on TV, he does not remind me of a politician. He reminds me of what would be my favorite teacher in school, because he's really invested in his community and his students. And he really has a high moral compass and good moral values.
Walz was born in West Point, Nebraska, and spent his childhood in Valentine, population 2600, not exactly known for its political heavy hitters.
We followed Tim's career, I guess, a little bit at a distance. This step, we probably didn't see this one coming.
When Walz was a teenager, his father's lung cancer diagnosis prompted the family to move 160 kilometers to the north, closer to the extended family.
I grew up in Butte, Nebraska, a town of 400 people. I had 24 kids in my high school class.
Walz's family members still live in the area. His uncle, retired farmer Jerome Raymond, says he plans to vote for his nephew, but adds that he is a bit worried the small-town kid he remembers is too kind to confront the big world's challenges.
He was just your average kid. I mean, he was a good guy. Loved sports. Tim isn't going to be tough enough for Putin. It concerns me.
Growing up in the rural Midwest, Walz became an avid fisherman and hunter, not shy about his love of guns. Walz's camouflage hat was embraced by the Dirt Road Democrats.
Camouflage hunting represents Nebraska, I guess, and we're just taking it back for this ticket.
Following in the footsteps of his father, a Korean War veteran, Walz joined the National Guard at age 17, serving for 24 years. But for some rural voters, Walz's military service and history of gun ownership does not mean he shares the same values.
Nah, he ain't close. He lying through his teeth. That's Second Amendment right. I ain't taking his guns away like they're trying to do us.
Walz also supports abortion rights, which puts him at odds with many in conservative Nebraska, where some churches have memorials for the unborn, and the landscape is dotted with anti-abortion signs.
Most important issue for me has always been pro-life. Whoever is pro-life is who I vote for. He won't get my vote.
Walz received his education degree from Chadron State College, in a town where former President Donald Trump seems to be popular. The college administration recently had to take down his campaign flag after someone hoisted it next to the U.S. flag on campus. Chadron resident Miles Bannon says Tim Walz's local roots do not necessarily translate to support.
There's a lot of families who don't talk about politics very much because there's a lot of disagreements, you know, and I think that there's a lot of people who are comforted by him, but that may not change the way they vote.
Some here say that Walz has given rural Nebraska its 15 minutes of fame. But in this conservative U.S. state, shared roots isn't a guarantee of votes. Natasha Mozgovaya, VOA News, in rural Nebraska.
And that seals our coverage there of the vice presidential nominees since we gave you DJ Vance last week. Studio 7 also captured a couple of messages to the next U.S. president from Harare, and we will be giving you a message each day till Friday. And starting off is former opposition legislator and National Democratic Working Group chairperson, Mr. Job Sikala, who says calls for the future American leadership to be extremely cautious when dealing with African governments which do not respect human rights and democracy.
The first thing that we must all agree on is that the United States of America is a country with its own values and also its own peculiar interests in as far as issues to do with democracy, human rights, corruption, and others are concerned. So we are expecting an American leader to be extremely cautious when dealing with African governments which do not respect human rights, which has no respect for democracy, which practices corruption in their system of governance. They must also make sure that where relief is being sought, like for example, at the present moment, Southern Africa is being faced with a very serious drought. We are expecting the United States of American government and any president that will come to make sure that America also play its role of food relief in the region and also in our own country. So these are some of the most important things that we will be expecting an American president to attend to.
That was former opposition legislator and National Democratic Working Group chairperson, Mr. Job Sikala, with a message to the next U.S. president. Let's take a quick break. On that note, we will be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
And for those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. And now we are joined by Amai Christina Rutendo Cutlip, a Democratic supporter based here in the DMV, and from Texas, a Republican Party supporter, Mr. Innocent Ndenda. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you so much. Tinofara kujoin Voice of America kutaura ne the Democratic Party ne election iri kuuya.
Mr. Ndenda, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, sir.
Awesome. I'm well. Thank you for joining us as well. Let me start with you, Mr. Ndenda. Being a Republican, as you are, over 40 million people have already voted so far, you know, with the early vote. How do you feel about this election in general?
It looks like people now understand the value of the conservatives because they have turned out to vote. You can see from the polling that the Republican is leading in many swing cities. So it shows that the Republican people now understood the reasons why they are voting. It's all about policies. Because the Republican policies are straight to the point. We're not doing a character evaluation, but we are voting for the policies. Where compared to the Democrats, which are voting for character, this is not a character assassination election, but we are voting for our future, how people are going to survive through policies. The policies are the ones that govern us, that lead us to a proper economy, to a proper living, to standard of everything.
And Amai Cutlip, if you can hear me there, please come on in as well. What's your take on this election?
Well, first of all, I'm very about the about this coming election. Am I a little scared as well? Yes, I am. I witnessed the last, the last but one election when Donald Trump won. And it was not a good time for most of us who are Democrats. With this election coming up, I'm very excited, number one, to have a woman of color who is running, very accomplished, with extensive legal and executive experience. She's a strong advocate for civil rights and social justice. And we all know that the economy does better when the leaders that are in charge are people that can be trusted, that tell the truth, and that are champions of social justice. We know the Democratic Party has been champions of health care with the Affordable Care Act, and there is more of that they are talking about. I'm excited about the tax cuts that Kamala is talking about and the Democratic Party is talking about, and even more excited about the help to people that want to start businesses. And I know a lot of immigrants, especially from Africa, want to start their own businesses, legal immigrants like myself, and are very excited that she's championing policies that will give us tax breaks so we can do that. So very excited about what's, the elections, and have been volunteering as well, and I'll be actually volunteering on the day of the election so that I can guide people as they're going to vote.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting nuggets there you both are bringing up. Let me come back to you, Van Denda. What has changed in this election from what we saw in the last election? Because if I remember very well, President Trump then was advocating for Republicans not to go for the early vote. But this time around, he is calling for early votes, early votes, early votes. What has changed?
What has changed? Nothing much has changed, but the thing is, like, on the day of election, the turnout was huge on the last election. So it's wiser for people to start voting like now, so that there won't be a big turnout on the day. So I think he's advocating for that as well. If people vote early, it gives you can also see on the polling how you're leading. It helps on the last voters, also those who are not decisive. Because there are people who are not yet decided on who to vote for. They will vote on the last day. They want to see. Some people wait for the trends to see how the pollings are going. So it also helps in a way, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very, very interesting. And moving to tomorrow, we understand, Amai Katlip, the Democrats are shutting down D.C. This is what we hear. there is talk that 20,000 people have already signed up for Amai Kamala Harris's rally tomorrow here in D.C. How do you feel about that?
I am very, very excited. I live in Northern Virginia, and this morning my husband and I were actually making plans on how we are going to get into D.C. tomorrow and try to be at the rally. There's a lot of excitement, and I think she is truly getting a message across. And I'm just looking forward to being there and to supporting her and to making sure that as many people as possible go out to vote. I had the opportunity and the privilege to be at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago and got so excited. It was truly a joyful moment, or a joyful couple days for me. And so I'm really excited about being downtown D.C. tomorrow and witnessing, hearing President Harris speak in preparation for the final voting in early November.
Ms. Tandenda, do you think the Democratic rally tomorrow will overshadow what we saw over the weekend in New York? We saw the Republicans flooding New York as well over the weekend on Sunday. With all that's been going on, the 34 counts against your leader and everything around New York, do you think tomorrow is going to change a bunch of voters against you?
It won't change voters, but the turnout will be huge, I know, for the Democrats. But they are used to these lies. There's no safe delivery in D.C. I think it's dilapidated in most of the areas these black people are living. So I don't understand why they go in numbers for the lies they keep on hearing each and every election year. So for me, it doesn't make any sense. Because if people come and lie to you all the time, why do you keep voting for them?
Let's give examples there, Landenda. You know, lies is a big word you're using there. Can you give an example or one or two of the lies you are referring to?
You're talking of DC. Look how dilapidated DC is. For effect, I think you go to work every day to DC. You see those people, how they're living in those communities, and nobody is taking care or to renovate all those houses.
Would you like to respond to that, Amai Katlip?
Absolutely. So I live in Northern Virginia. I worked in Washington, D.C. on 11th and Pennsylvania Avenue for years and years. I watched the Obama inauguration. I watched Biden's inauguration. Actually, for the Obama inauguration, I was there. Celebrating. I don't know the D.C. you're talking about, because the D.C. that I know and the D.C. that I've witnessed is absolutely a phenomenal city. It is clean. You can go on the mall. It is a fabulous city. You can go all around. I go there to eat a lot. And I go to the convention center, I go to the Navy Yards, I go to, I go to Georgetown. So I'm not sure what dilapidated D.C. he's talking about, because D.C. has really had a resurgence economically. Are there pockets of, poverty? There are pockets of poverty anywhere in the world. But D.C. is a fabulous city, and I really do invite you to come. I will be more than happy to show you the D.C. that I know, the D.C. that I enjoy, and to show you what Biden has done, what Barack Obama has been able to do to that city to really improve it. It's a beautiful city.
And both parties, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, have been thriving and preaching their messages hinged on different assets. What do you think, Amai Katlip, is going to be the biggest message to the Democrats tomorrow that will take your president, not presidential nominee, to the White House?
I think the message is going to be, we have such a bright future as the United States of America. We are the number one country in the world. We can lead not just nationally, but we can lead globally. We can continue to lead. We can recapture that number one country that everybody looks to, everyone wants to come to and immigrate to. The economy, it has one of the best economies that have improved post-COVID. Is it perfect? No, but it's going to it's continuing to improve. And really, it's a country where everyone feels welcome, where everyone has the opportunity to start a business, to be successful economically. It's a country where you can say whatever you want, right, because of that freedom, and that freedom needs to be guarded. It is a country where, women should feel that they have control of their own lives. So I do think Kamala just talking about the economic success that's going to happen moving forward, the fact that everyone feels included and can participate in making this country even better than it's been, in making sure that everyone feels like they are a part of the United States, in making sure that you can raise your families and raise them and send them to college and send them, and they are successful. You can buy a home. You can get a job. You can, if you want to start a business, you have help to start businesses. So I think those are all things that Kamala can say, that, hey, you are all included. You are all part of the growth and the future of this country. So come participate rather than the other side where you feel like you are insulted, like maybe you don't belong, like maybe, you know, you don't have a real party to play. I think if she focuses on the positive message, on the future of this country, which I think there are even more wonderful things to come for those of us who are Americans, I think she will get more and more people to vote for her.
Mm. And Landenda, as well, from where you are standing, what are the key issues you think will lead your party to the White House?
Oh, there's so many issues. One is the economy. Trump has done it before, and you do the same. The economy was good on his four-year tenure. We can see now the economy is kind of shaky, but he's going to fix on that. He's also going to get a lot of votes through the abortion bill. Not some of the women, they are for the abortion, but most of the women, they are saying no to killing. Was nine months pregnant, it's already an unborn child, it's a human being. So if you terminate that, that's killing. So Trump is standing with that, which is also good. If you look at all the policies, the wars, Trump, when he was in the office, for 4 years there was no war in the world. So these are policies. I'm not just uttering from nowhere. We are uttering policies. Was Trump for 4 years, he was in office, there was no blood that was spilled. The whole world, and he's going to do that because he believes in negotiating, not pumping money. Instead of pumping money to countries like Ukraine, then he needs to secure, like, even the border. He's saying no. Actually, the immigration policy, it's all about, like, people should be vetted, and you give money to the judges so they do their jobs. Like, now it's overwhelming where people are just flocking in, and people are just flocking in the country. They are not in the system, which is wrong. That's not the way it's done worldwide. Every country has got a policy. So the immigration policy needs also to be fixed. So there's a lot that Trump is talking about. He's not just talking about character assassination. So whereas the Democrats, they're always talking about character assassination. None of the policies they're talking about. So Trump, I think, is going to win the majority because he's talking about issues of concern about the people.
Nguva yedu yakuita ichipera tichipeta zvedu chirongwa. Amai Catlip, if you can come back in, your last word as we wrap up, maybe in a minute or so, what would be your last word to the people today?
To the people today, I say please go out and vote. That is your right, and everyone should take that very seriously. The freedom to vote is one of the most sacred things that anyone can have. So please go out to vote. And when you're voting, think about, you know, how you belong. Civil rights and social justice, which Kamala really stands for. Economic and healthcare reform, which you continue to need and improve, and she stands for that as well. Climate and environmental leadership, which is something that she also has been advocating with global change and everything else that's, you know, that's happening. And also so the representation and inspiring leadership as the first female president of the United States, I think that's going to really inspire 50% of the world, right, is female. And I think that would be, you know, really highly inspiring for the rest of the world to know that everyone, when you include everyone in the economic discussion, things actually work out even better.
Landenda, tipete chirongwa, mashoko enyu oye kupedzisira before we wrap up.
I'll just say, get ready for just on the 5th of November. Be ready for the landslide as the Republicans are going back to office, and work for the people.
Mashoko makuru ayo, you both have raised very interesting nuggets today, and we can definitely see the support you have for your distinctive parties. All the best. And this brings us to the end of our discussion today. Let me thank you again, Democratic Party supporter Amai Katlip in the DMV area, and Innocent Ndenda, also a Republican Party member based in Texas. To our valued listeners and all our followers, wherever you are, we thank you for being on the show. And I am signing off in Washington, D.C. I'm Ivan Zininga.